Okay, getting started here this morning. If I can read it right, it says, I have no retirement fund. Where do I start? And I'm just going to go through these as they are and try not to be selective. Where do I start? First of all, you get out of debt. If you owe on your house, you pay off your house. If you're paying any interest on anything, the best thing you can do towards retirement is to get totally debt-free first. Pay off any credit cards, number one, pay off the high-interest loans you have. And we'll talk a little bit more about investments, hopefully, in these questions. But the best investment that I've seen is your home. What you understand is what is the best investment. If you don't understand money market, if you don't understand real estate, if what you do not understand, do not invest in. What you understand is where you need to put your money because that's where you can control it best. Don't turn your money over to somebody else that makes a commission on it and expect them to do you a good job. Be responsible for yourself first. I'm a commission salesman. I'm primarily property and casualty, not just life insurance. But when somebody brings money to me to invest, I'm going to make a commission off of it, which is going to dilute how much they have to invest. So be responsible for yourself. And my advice, number one, on retirement is get totally out of debt. Then it takes a whole lot less to live on. As John Crawford teaches, there's seasons in your life. Generally, that means from 20 to 40 is one season, 40 to 60 is another season, then 60 plus is the final season. Don't worry about retirement if you're in the 20 to 40 stage at all. Worry about getting out of debt, and then from 40 to 60 should be our peak earning years, and that's where you start trying to sock some away. And if you're still in debt from the 40 to the 60, number one is still to get out of debt.
I have a question about that. I'm 33 and I have 401k at work. Would you suggest that I do have a mortgage? I'm almost out of debt completely except for a car and a house. Would you suggest that I not put money in 401k?
Does your employer contribute towards that too?
Oh, yeah.
If your employer contributes towards it, yes. I believe the IRS thinks, and we've got an IRS agent here, so y'all be careful what you say. I won't identify him because he might want to still have fellowship for the rest of the week. Ken, nice having you here.
Yes.
I think the federal government considers IRA money, retirement money, theirs until the taxes are paid. I think it should be considered high-risk money. You shouldn't have more than 5% of your investment money or investments in retirement accounts. The exception is if your employer is paying matching dollars, put as much there as you can. But then don't put any more of your money than you have to pay off your house and then start other investments. Does that answer? And I may be in the minority. Yes?
I was just going to ask a question along those same lines. Because I'm self-employed, and we have a SEP that we set up, and I'm only 26. And so did you say it's not, I mean, due to the fact that we can deduct 15% off the top line of investing in that, would you still say being that young and it's not good to load that deal up right now?
I think it's a investment. It shouldn't be, again, 5%. If it's all your investment, cut it, scale it way back. Solomon says, divide your portion in 7 or 8, for who knows what trouble is going to befall the earth. I don't know if the government's going to abscond with that money or not. I think personally they will. The government's is close to broke. 40% of the taxes coming in goes towards interest right now today, and that's going to go up exponentially. So the government's going to look at that money and say, ah, taxes hadn't been paid. We're going to roll it into the Social Security fund, and it's no longer your money. Yes, you'll get some benefit out of it, but I'd consider it high risk. So not that you, at your age, you can afford to lose it, but make sure you've got 7 or 8 other nest eggs too. Don't depend on that any more than you depend on Social Security by itself to be there when you need it.
about 10 years on my house. I just actually had a refinance. Had a refinance from a 30-year note to a 12-year note. Probably about 9 years ago. What's the best way to go ahead and get this thing?
Go ahead and just add on your payment coupon booklet, add an extra 100 or 150 or 200, whatever you can comfortably do and not strain the budget too much. Just on your every coupon or every modern loan, you can pay extra on principal and they can't penalize you. You can, and if you'll get any good computer program, it'll show you if you add $100 a month, how many years it cuts off, or $200 a month. So just pay extra principal on that loan as well. And it'll pay off years faster, and you'll save literally thousands of dollars in interest. I believe that the Bible, when it talks about rust that destroys, it's talking about interest in our generation. It's the rust that destroys our finances and our nation. So the quicker we can get out of debt, the better.
Could I ask for you stay with the original plan and read the question.
Thank you.
Because we won't be able to hear it.
Right. Okay, you're right. If there is a true economic crunch and the banks actually fail, how will the banks be able to repossess homes, and where will the displaced people go? What type of price range homes will the banks go after first? All we can go by is by history. During the last Great Depression, which I don't think any of us were alive at that time, but my daddy has shared with me that the banks didn't hesitate to take back homes and then resell them for what they could. During hard economic times, the banks look out for the banks, and they have to. So it doesn't matter if you own a little home or a big home. If you owe against it, the bank's going to take it and resell it. There's some guidelines that the bank's going to tell you that one-third of your income can go towards principal payment or towards the payment. Larry Burkett recommends a fourth at the most. My recommendation is buy what God leads you that you need, not what you desire. This thing of getting bigger and better and keep stepping up, at some point, that's not of God. Get a home that meets your need and stick with it and get it paid off. Because just because of normal economic fluctuations, we're going to go through hard times. I believe because of lack of guts on our politicians, it's going to come on quicker than what it should. So where are the people going to go? You're going to see families doubling up like they did back then. During the last Great Depression, 5% of the people lived in cities, 95% lived on farms. That's now exactly reversed. Less than 5% live on farms, 95% live in cities. If a Great Depression comes, it's going to be hell. Proverbs says a man sees trouble, the wise man sees trouble coming and prepares, and the fool goes blindly on. So all you can do is be prepared the best God leads you to, and then know that God's going to give us opportunity to be witnesses and opportunity to minister. If the Christians are out of debt and prepared, we'll see a great revival like this country has never seen. And I think God's going to bring it on purpose to bring revival. God has no reason to prosper America unless we're a sending nation as far as spreading the gospel, and we're quickly becoming a non-sending nation. The other countries are sending, like Korea is increasing and America is decreasing as far as number of missionaries. If God wants to get America really a sending nation again, hard times is what's going to do it. You know, I have some income producing property, apartments. Generally, the income will serve the debt. However, I cannot sell the property for enough money to pay off the property, and I do not have the cash to make up the difference if I sold them. I would like to get rid of the debt, but the market for rental property seems to be improving, so I could possibly get out better in about 3 years. What should I do? Sell out, hang on. Again, what you know how to do is generally where you can make the most money. most of us own our homes, so we know how to take care of them, and that carries over to rental property. Rental property traditionally has been one of the best investments that the common man can understand, and I'm one of the common men. I think if you can hang on and try to get your rents to the point where it pays for the property, don't worry about making any profit. Turn every bit of the rental income back to getting it paid off, and then as you can, either buy more rental property, get it paid off. Property traditionally has value. Hard times, good times, good place to park your money. I highly recommend it. Can you make recommendations for someone who they and their wife sees financial difficulties? Can you make recommendations for someone who they and their wives have seen financial difficulties? Take heart, there is life after financial difficulties. I highly recommend budgeting. A budget is the most important thing that we as Christians can do to be good stewards. I personally went on a budget when I had to. I didn't have any choice. Back in about 85, I owed well in excess of $100,000. Half of it was on credit cards. I was bankrupt, period, without a question. There was a Christian financial counselor, CPA, in Wichita Falls that recommended Larry Burkett's budget, and my wife and I went on it back in 86. In 4 years, we paid off $60,000 in debt, and my income wasn't all that good at the time, but we budgeted. Everything was tight. I do think that Satan is devouring Christians and marriages because of finances, and that a good budget is the answer to that problem. It doesn't matter if you're prosperous or non-prosperous. You cannot be a good steward of God's money unless you're on a budget. And I didn't do it because I wanted to. I did it personally because I had to. After 5 or 6 years, we got to the point where we paid off all the debt that we had. The only debt I owe now is on two business buildings. Everything else for the last 4 or 5 years, we pay cash for our cars. We buy used cars, but we pay cash for our cars. We budget our vacations. We budget. Everything is in the budget. Emergencies. I'm not where I want to be, but I'm heading the right direction still. More on that later. Burkett seems to downplay retirement planning in his literature. How much should be put away for retirement as a percentage? Again, it goes to the season of your life. Don't worry about retirement until you're 40 plus. Worry about getting out of debt. Worry about getting on a budget and staying with it. Get your financial house in order. I don't see that God is overly concerned about us retiring anyway. God is more concerned about my business being a ministry while I'm doing it. And I don't think that's particularly the influence of Larry Burkett on my life. It's more the influence of my father that worked up till the day he died. It's the influence of John Crawford. I see that God has called us to minister till he calls us home. And for most of us laymen, I've got a wonderful opportunity every day to minister through my business. I see people with financial problems that are struggling, and I get to advise them, and they pay me to do it. So don't be concerned about retirement, except, in Proverbs it says, look to the ant. He stores up in the time of summer. I'm not saying don't ignore it. Yes, it's important, and I'm working towards it too. But the primary thing is to get out of debt, then start making your investments, and just ask God to lead you. Should being debt-free be an important part of my financial foundation? Is question number one. And yes, any interest is bad. It doesn't matter if it's 3%, 6% you're paying, 12%, 18%. Any interest you're paying, it's money going that way. God promises His children that when we're in a position of being blessed, that we'll be lenders. And I don't. I think we should be lending to the poor and expecting nothing in return. That's not too good interest. In fact, that's interest free. But any interest you pay, you're robbing yourself of the blessing of not paying, of having more spendable income. Most of us want bigger, better, more. Nothing wrong with older cars. And I want to say this, but some of y'all see me driving around a new Cadillac out there. It's not mine. I asked Gene Moore if he wanted to buy it, and he said no, because too many people would see him driving it and it would affect his influence. So I want to tell you right now, it's not mine and it's for sale. If y'all, any of y'all want a Cadillac, good car. But any debt is bad in the long run. And it's not bad to buy a home on debt, I believe. It's not bad to go in debt to start a business to a certain amount, long as it's not a killer amount of debt. But all debt is bad. The proverb says that the borrower is slave to the lender. And if you want to be used by God and you're attached to this note or this bank, you're not near as available to God for ministry when you're in debt. Because right now I can't go to China if God told me, because I'd default on my business loan. So, and I think I'm right where God wants me. I really do. But all debt has a big price to pay in the long run. Keeping money set aside for my children biblical? Proverbs says that the righteous man will leave an inheritance to his children's children. So, highly scriptural, not only to have money to pass on. I think that in our society that we do good. My children are 19, 16, and 13. I think it's my responsibility to give them their first car so that they don't have to go in debt to buy it. It's my responsibility as father, if God prospers me, to help them buy their first home. Very scriptural to leave money to your children's children. I'd encourage you not to leave it to them before they're 30 plus, because my experience is they're going to squander it. So if you don't have a will, get a will. This last year I've lost my mother, my father, my brother, and my grandmother. And I'm the executor on all four. I told the next one that died I'm going to resurrect them and kill them if they leave me as executor. I hope I've learned whatever God's trying to teach me this last year. And everything is in its season, but boy, it's been rough. Appreciate y'all's prayers. If I break, I can't even talk about it. But, where were we? Next question. Is it okay to give money to a needy person instead of your church, or divide the money between church and charities? Is it sin to go into debt? Well, that's another question. Debt, we'll skip it on this one. But no, it's not sin to go in debt, but it's not wise. Is it scriptural to give money to persons? Do we have any full-time pastors here? That was the other question I was going to ask. Because I don't want to offend anybody, and if I offend anybody with my answer, I apologize right now. This is what God has convicted me from the Scripture. I think storehouse tithing, as taught by most churches, is a myth. I think that scripturally you give to those who minister to you. I encourage you to be as the Berean Christians. They were more noble because they searched the Scripture daily to see what was so. On giving, it's an important part of our life. We should give systematically. We should give regularly. But you give to those who minister to you. And in my life, the church ministers to me big time, to me and my family, and the Navigators minister to me. So I personally split my giving on a systematic way between those two entities. I also believe as Christians that God says that if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. If you have two men earning $40,000, one is single, one has a wife and four kids, God does not expect the same percentage to go towards His work from the man with four kids versus the single person. Each season of your life, God gives different abilities, different amount of income. God holds us responsible individually to be thinking. I think percentages produce guilt. On the area of storehouse tithing, you look at what the Old Testament, if you live under the law, most of it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Most of the Old Testament giving was for guilt offerings, for sin offerings, and for supporting the Levites, is that right? It had a purpose, but the things that were written aforetime was for our instruction, our admonition. We can look and see that God wants us to be givers, no question. If we don't give, we're living in sin. But to say that I can tell you a percentage, to say that storehouse tithing is right, yes, if you call the church universal the storehouse, I'll buy that. But to say the local church is the storehouse and you're to give, the tithe is about 30%. It's not 10%, according to the Old Testament. So if you want to be legalistic, give 30% to the church. The church today does not support the Christian that gets into trouble through death, through sickness, through mismanagement. Your widow is not going to be taken care of by the local church if you blow it or if you die. So it's God's given me the responsibility to be responsible for my family, to meet their needs through life insurance, buy term, invest the difference. Just in case that question's not asked in here. You buy permanent insurance if you have a permanent problem. Term insurance takes care of the temporary problems, and it's 10% of the price of whole life. If we got any whole life salesmen in here, I apologize to you. How from the Scripture do I buy a home today? I'm building a home and need to borrow some for it. Again, Scripture doesn't say it's sin to borrow money to buy a home. Any appreciating item I think you can go into debt for. It's just the least you have to borrow and the quicker you pay it off, the more scripturally sound you are. No scriptural prohibition I'm aware of on borrowing money. The Scripture just says it's unwise. So nothing wrong with borrowing money from my point of view to buy a home. Just get it paid off as quick as possible. Let's see, how to think, referring getting married and finances. Somebody read Proverbs 24:27 for me.
Prepare your work without and make it fit for yourself in the field and afterwards build your house.
Okay, so let's talk about prepare your fields without and then build your house. I think, and if you're thinking about getting married, one of the best investments is investing in yourself as far as your skills, be that college or a trade. Today, preparing your field means preparing yourself to be a good skilled laborer or preparing yourself to be a professional. In the Old Testament, it talks about where there's many ox, there's increase. Today, the oxen is money and our knowledge. So preparing your field is preparing yourself. The average college graduate makes $25,000 a year more than the non-college graduate, and I'm not a college graduate. I drank my way through high school, so when I got to college, I didn't have the brain power to finish it. Did go 3.5 years. But preparing your field today is to become as skilled as you can. Get through college if you can. On getting your kids through college, I don't think it is wrong to go in debt to get your kids through college. It is wrong to let your kids go into debt to get them through college. I'm helping my daughter get through college now. I paid all of my college costs working, putting myself through college. My daughter is working to put herself through college. Plus, she's smart enough where she got some scholarships. Because I didn't particularly encourage my kids to work through high school. If make school work their first job and praise them for it. But don't think that you have to give your college it's $50,000 to get the average state school 4-year degree. I'm not going to hock my future or let my kids hock their future if I have any help to get them through college. And I think a college degree is highly important. That's preparing the field. But don't feel like God's called you to go into debt to get them through there. Give some suggestions on financial priorities, getting out of debt, saving, retirement, college for kids, investments, insurance. Getting out of debt's priority number one. Setting aside regular money to invest, regular money to save. I think everybody ought to have 6 months of your income set aside for emergencies. I'm not saying I'm there yet. I'm saying that's the ideal. Again, the scripture admonishes us to divide your investments into seven or eight different investments. I personally use real estate, commercial, personal real estate, rent properties, little in CDs. I don't have my portion divided. I'm not there yet. I'm still working on it. But my goal is to get my finances divided in seven or eight different things. The book, Larry Burkett, has a 10 best investments and 10 worst investments. Highly recommend it. Some of the worst are stock market, gold and silver, and some of these things you can make money in, but it's considered high risk money. Will Rogers said, "I'm more concerned on the return of my money than the return on my money." So be more concerned about the return of your money than the return on your money. A good investment ought to return you 10% plus. Don't try to go for the 25 to 30%. You can do it, but then it's high risk. The higher the return, the higher the risk, almost without exception. So if you can get a 10% return on your money, that'll double itself every 5 or 6 years. And next question. I'm not Gene War either. I think it says I have $29,000 in education loans to repay, $40,000 with interest. I'm about to start my career, no kids right now, but married. One, how soon should I try to open a 401k or IRA? Don't do that until you get your debt paid off. Is it right to think that the sooner I get out of debt, the better? Amen. Get out of debt as quick as you can, and that's the best before you start worrying about retirement. No matter what your age, you're better off paying off your home, getting totally out of debt, and then investing your money for retirement. Because every $1,000 you pay off, most loans are at 8, 9, 10%. The best return on your money is stop paying interest. So always get out of debt before you worry about retirement, no matter where you are. Even if you're 60 or 65, if you're making 9% on your money and you're paying 10% on what you have borrowed, the best investment is to get rid of that 10% debt. How should I prepare financially for kids? They're more of a blessing. They're not a financial asset today. You don't prepare financially for kids. You just trust God's going to give you the ability to take care of them, meet their needs. When they get sick, you take care of them. You should have health insurance. Health can wipe you out very quickly if you don't. How aggressive should saving for retirement be? Well, we're concerned about retirement today. Okay, how aggressive? If you're aggressive in your investments, I think it's good, but being financially free means God can use you more. And if that's your goal for retirement, it's so that you can spend more time in the ministry, doing ministry, I think that's wise. If your goal is to retire to play golf, shame on you. Should support to extended families, brothers, sisters, parents, come before support to God's family? other brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, if you don't take care of your own, God says you're worse than an infidel. The Scripture tells us to give first to the household of faith. We have a responsibility to family first. I think God has put us in the family. This last year, I spent the majority of my free time taking care of my mother. It was a privilege. They gave her 2 weeks to 2 months to live after she had diagnosed with lung cancer, and she lasted 1 year and 1 week. And the best year of my life, hardest but the best, taking care of my mother. I took off a month trying to find my brother. They got lost in Old Mexico. Best month I ever spent. No, he went over a cliff, 100 yards straight down. Went down there with his girlfriend. Found her body, but never found his. What would be the most financially correct option to take if you wanted to pay off a loan? And it looks like he listed car, mortgage, smaller loans. Pay off the high interest loans first. On your credit cards, have a burnt offering. Stack them up and burn them. I did that in 86. Since 86, I've yet to charge anything I didn't pay the balance in 30 days. If you can't pay the balance, you don't need it. I personally use Discover Card. There's these new GM cards where you can get like a 5% off, 5% return if you pay the balance. If you can pay the balance monthly, you're using their money, and the credit cards make money when they make the loan, so you're not abusing the privilege. Credit cards hate people that pay the balances monthly, but they can take mine away if they want it. But pay off your high interest loans first. Credit cards number one, car loans number two, then work on your mortgage number three. Just go down the order. You can save and pay cash for cars. I'm living proof that it can be done. And as I'm now 44, I think. I was born in 51. God has called us. God wants to bless us. God wants us to be financially free. I'm not one of these name it and claim it fellows. I don't believe it. But God wants us to be a light to the world in the area of finances. We know the truth. We have access to the truth of how to do finances. The world is being sold a lie. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy." And finances are wrecking marriages, wrecking lives. So know and practice the truth. And God has given me a wonderful opportunity to minister these last 4 or 5 years that I've been basically debt-free. Consumer debt, I'm free. And as God is my witness, I'll never owe another penny besides on a business loan and on my home. And as soon as I can get those paid off, they're going to be paid off. Wonderful opportunity to be light to the world and salt. How do you go about getting out of debt? Are there some things financially smart? Well, the smarts, you pay the high interest loans first. But how do you go about getting out of debt? You budget, you budget, you budget, you budget. It's like real estate. It's location, location, location. Getting out of debt is budget, budget, budget. My wife and I haven't had a fight over finances since 86. It's just so much fun. You do not abdicate to your wife either the responsibility of taking care of the finances. You do it. I think God gifts husbands and wives. Being opposites has been my experience. And my wife is detail-oriented. She's a bookkeeper by profession. So she keeps it all written down and in order. But it's my responsibility to pay the bills, and I write the checks every month to see where the money's going. But if you come out of this question and answer session with anything, budgeting is the best thing you can do to be a good steward of God's money. Okay, the question was on budgeting, Larry Burkett's budget. There's some brochures back here that where you can get his phone number. All the Christian bookstores that I've ever been in carry something on family budgeting, and I suggest him because that's what I've been using for years. There's nothing out here that you can get, but go to any good Christian bookstore and you can get the phone number and it comes on computer where you can plug it into the computer, do your budget on the computer, or you do it on a ledger page, and he uses an envelope system where most everything Glenda and I, that's my wife, do, we pay cash for, and we've got an envelope system. But it's Larry Burkett's budget system that I highly recommend because it's simple, it's very low maintenance. We spend maybe 15 minutes a month on our finances. When we first started out, it was more than that, but now we pay the bills, go over the budget, 20, 30 minutes at the very most every month is all it takes. So a budget that's complicated, you won't keep doing.
I'm a straight commission seller. I drawing.
The question I think is, you know, he's a straight commission salesman. I'm in the same boat. I draw a set amount out of my business each month. I try to draw less than I make. Sometimes I draw more than I make, but I draw a set amount, and the rest I leave in the bank, in my business. But it doesn't matter if you're on a straight commission, fluctuating income, fixed income, a budget will work and you can budget. And Larry Burkett's budget takes that into account and shows you how to set it up. What I did or God did for me is gave me a Christian CPA that he gave me Larry Burkett's tapes. We listened to him on budgeting. We went to him and he helped us get the percentages right for each item. I'd encourage you, if you're having financial problems, is to get a Christian financial counselor to help y'all get your budget set up. It's when you're in debt, it's a highly emotional thing, you know, of who's going to control what, what's fair. And when you get an independent third party to help you, it takes out a lot of that emotion, and it makes it a whole lot easier to do between husbands and wives. If you're single, then it's just you, but most of y'all aren't in that situation. My children are 11 and 13. I've tried investing money in mutual funds every month towards future college expenses. Is this the correct thing to do? How do we afford rising college expenses? Mutual funds are good if you understand them. I personally don't understand them, and I haven't had the time or expertise to learn yet. And again, what you know and what you understand 100% is where you invest. If you don't understand mutual funds, don't invest in mutual funds, and don't particularly pay somebody to do it for you, because there again, you're giving up part of your principal. You can make more investing in what you know. And if you know nothing, then start tons of good books on how to invest your money. Study and learn. On college, you know, future college expenses, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. I've got three kids to educate. I'm planning on all three of them going to college. I personally wasn't in a position to set anything aside, but my experience tells me and what I read tells me that the kids that help work their way through college do a whole lot better than those that get it handed to them. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about how you're going to educate your kids. Worry more about getting your financial house in order. Worry about getting out debt. Don't worry about the college part. If God gives you the ability to start setting it aside, that's good. But don't tell your kids you're going to buy their college for them. Don't recommend that at all. Living trust versus wills. My experience is living trust are too much trouble to mess with. Living versus wills. Everybody needs a will. I'm proud to say everybody that died in my family had a will. Without it, I wouldn't be involved, period. even with it, it is rough. A competent attorney for $50 or $100 will draw you up a will. Keep a current will. Don't give money to your kids until they're at least 30. And of course, none of us know when they're going to die, when we're going to die. But you can put a provision in your will that they don't get it. Set it up in a trust until they turn age 30 plus.
Okay.
Most of them that I've seen are fine, but I'd rather see you invest. Everybody needs a good attorney, a good doctor. We got any attorneys in here? Oh, good. I can't do any attorney jokes. You know, how do you tell the difference between a snake and an attorney if they're both dead on the road? There's skid marks in front of the snake. I've been sued 3 times in the last 3 years. Before that, I'd never been sued, period. And if y'all want to know the details, they're all fraudulent suits. God's going to judge America because of our greed, which the attorneys help the symptoms of it, for abortion. What's the other thing? Anyway, God's going to judge us without a question, without a doubt.
Mark, this is up your line of work there, the insurance business. Okay, the single guy or single person, do you need life insurance? And then how does that change when you get married, and how does that change when you have kids?
Okay, the question is, does a single fellow need life insurance? Probably not, unless you're responsible for taking care of your parents. A salesman's going to tell you, you got to buy it now or you're going to become uninsurable. Happens to a very small percentage of the people. As a single fella, no, I don't think you need life insurance. My own example is my father and my father-in-law had no life insurance, but they were debt-free. They've got everything paid for. They've got their burial paid for. When you're young and married with kids, yes, you need and try to find a Christian fellow to tell you, but you need enough to get your kids grown and raised. They're your responsibility. The church will not take care of them. So, yes, when you're married with young kids, I personally carried maybe $500,000 in cheap term insurance. Still do because my kids aren't educated. But at some point, I'll carry no life insurance because I'll be totally debt-free, Lord willing. I'll have money in the bank to take care of the funeral. I'll have money in the bank so my wife can live. The average wife is widowed at age 60. So if I'm average, I've got 15 more years. I hope God blesses me a few more years than that. But we need to be prepared so that our wives can live on after we're gone. And again, keeping them involved in the finances together is very important so that it's not a shock when you go and they're still here. That answer your question?
Is there one more question?
No, that's part of the tape recorder.
Mark, do you feel that in building a home, would you take out money out of your retirement fund, pay the penalty?
I probably personally would, because when your home's paid for, it can never be taken away from you. I wouldn't. There again, and I'm 45 now. I'm getting closer to the older age. I hope to work till the day I die. Retirement is not something for me that we ought to be particularly overly concerned about again. But yes, I think I'd take it out of it, pay the penalty. And if you had to borrow money versus taking it out of the retirement plan, yes, you're probably better off. But, you know, without knowing all your circumstances, it's hard to. I am not a financial advisor. I'm an insurance agent, primarily auto, home, commercial. Y'all ask any more questions you have, or I'll go over the prepared ones now.
The question came up about mutual funds a little while ago. Would you suggest paying off the house before you look at doing any other investment?
If you've got disposable income. I think paying off the house is number one priority. You ought to go ahead and start doing a little bit, because if the you don't know which part of the American economy is going to crash first. And mutual funds seem to be a good way to invest money from what Larry Burkett says. I have no personal experience. I've bought silver and I've made money. I don't recommend it. I've invested in the stock market and I've made money. I don't recommend it. God protects fools sometimes when I really didn't know what I was doing, but I just lucked out, got in and out at the right time. What I've made the most money on is in my own business, number one, investing in my own education, getting my level of expertise up where I've got credibility. So God's blessed me, first of all, in my own business should be your number one. Invest in yourself. Invest. Be the best worker if you're working for somebody else. Become skilled. Be a good employee. And that should increase your value, hopefully, to your boss. Number two is property. My own home and rental property is the number two best investment I've had, personally. I think because we understand property, it's a good way to make money. The next way I made money is I become a mortgage lender. I lend money to people to buy homes, and I've got several that way. Then interest is coming in to me at 10%. Plus, you buy the house for supposedly, and this is an example, you buy the house at 20, you fix it up, you sell it for 30. Plus, so I've made $10,000 profit on the sale of the home, plus I make the compound interest coming back to me. So being a mortgage lender is probably the third best way I know of to make money. But you have to have money to do that.
Is that just on free and clear property?
Yes. If you if you buy a rental property, get it paid off, and buy little older homes that you can pay cash for, and improve them and sell them, and then you can use that money to buy a little bit better class property. But yes, everything you do should be debt free, or you chance losing it if you have a property devaluation or crunch.
What would be your priority, getting out of debt versus putting your 6 months' salary away?
I'd work at both of them at the same time. Being in a government job, you've got security in your job, so 6 months' income wouldn't be as important to you as it would a commission salesman, because commissions do fluctuate. For a commission salesman, I have no guarantee I'm going to make a sale tomorrow, so I need to have money set aside. As long as you're healthy, you've got a job. You know, you got to really mess up to get fired from a government job or and most jobs. So look at your job situation. If it's an unstable employment, then you need to put a more priority on that emergency fund, even higher than getting out of debt sometimes. Because if you have the emergency fund, you'll have some staying power so you don't lose your home or your other investments. But for you, I'd say, you know, 50-50. Getting out of debt would probably be a little higher priority than having money in the bank.
Mark, you always I'm in a situation as a, I'm in my early 40s, military, required to live on an installation, don't own a home, completely debt-free as far as homes, but I don't own one. So how important is it post-military or whatever to actually go out and purchase a home? Do you think that's an absolute?
You're going to need some place to live, and it's always better to own than to rent. So but if you can have other whatever you can make the most money on your investments, nothing says you have to own a home now. Just have enough money to where you can pay cash when it's time to buy a home, so that at age 45 or 50, you don't have to get a 20 or 30 year mortgage to buy your home. So, you know, get some expertise in other areas. The military now is a whole lot more stable as far as moving people around, most branches. So you can buy property, you know, buy nice rental income property, get it paid off, and that could be the home you move into if you're fairly certain you're going to be where, if you're going to retire where you are now, it doesn't hurt to go ahead and buy as rental property and then turn it into your home when you get out. But the main thing is have investments to where you can pay cash for your home when it's time.
Mark, maybe you talk a lot about rental properties, and you might lump this into the same umbrella, or maybe not. What do you think about investment property as opposed to like real property?
Investment property is good, and usually if it's two to three to four units, if you have to get a partner to buy it, I don't think it's wise. If you have to go into partnership to go into business, I don't think it's wise. But rental property is good versus it's just as good probably, if that answers your question. Main thing is to get it paid off as quick as possible and plow all the money back into it to get it paid off as quick as possible. John?
Mark, I just sold my house in Oklahoma. It's a rental property, and I got about $30,000 out of it in the bank now. And I owe about $8,000 on my car, and I'm saying I'm going to build my home now. So, at that age, I think I'm probably better off not buying a house.
Well, you need to buy a house to live in eventually, most likely. And, of course, ask God to convict you. But pay off your car. Use the money to pay off the car, because you can't make as much interest as what that car loan's costing you if you owe on it. So pay off the car and then start looking for investments. And I'd say most of us need to own our home. Unless God's convicting you, you need to be in China. If you know you're going to be a missionary elsewhere, then no, you don't need to own property in the United States. But most of us, most of us have called us to be the rope holders. I'm going to help support people in China. I'm going to help support, I've got an interest in several different ministries because I'm helping support them. But God right now has told me to stay here. So if you're going to be here, you need to own what you're in.
One thing about that, was that his home that he sold and made the money off?
Rent property. So he's going
to pay capital gains.
He'll have to pay capital gains on it. Yeah. Even if you reinvest it, you have to pay capital gains since it's rent property.
Yeah, so
if it's your homestead, as long as you buy another one when 18 months or whatever it is, then you can avoid the capital gains. How long?
It's 2 years.
2 years. Thank you. Any other questions? I'm listening.
You're a single fella. Should you think, it's kind of hitching off his, should you think about buying your own home? When do you quit saving for it and when do you go in and buy it?
Traditionally, property is appreciated, so the sooner you buy, the better. Property has been my best investment over the last 20 or 30 years. I have yet to lose money on buying and selling. I've bought and sold 6, 8, 10 homes, and I've made several thousand dollars profit on each home I've bought. So probably the best bet is to get in there as soon as... Go ahead and do it. If you're comfortable with having debt. Now, if God's convicted you that you ought to be debt-free, period, buy what you've got, say, buy a lower, older home, and then trade up. My first home, I'd be afraid to be in that neighborhood now. There's nothing says you have to buy your dream home, your first home. My father helped me. He helped me at the down payment, $1,500, $2,000 to buy my first home. And then I made the mortgage. I made the loan. But buy a little older and then fix it up, sell it, and trade up. Nothing wrong with that. Unless you're getting to the point where you've got to have bigger and better, bigger and better and better just to keep status, that's wrong. Someone else. We've still got a few more minutes. So.
Mark, I just want to make a comment. You mentioned for your children, you felt it was correct to try and help them or buy their first car and buy their first home or help them buy the first home, keep them out of debt. But when it came to college, I think because you said it's important for them to really not squander their college, don't necessarily buy their college degree if they need to work to do it. So can you just comment on that a little bit? Like, why not have them work for their first car, their first home?
I think it's important that our kids have job skills even before they go to college. You need to know the bent of your children and encourage them in whatever their bent is. My father, you know, made sure that I worked through high school and college. I'm not saying it's wrong to bother college, and each of you have to. I've got three kids. All three of them are totally different personalities. My son studies is his work. He makes good grades, but he's got to study like the devil to make good grades. I've got a daughter that doesn't study and makes better grades. I made sure that my daughter worked at a younger age than what I'm going to make my son work, because it came too easy for her. Too much free time is bad for any kid. That's a good blanket statement. So you know the bent of your kids, and if they don't have to study to make the grades, make them work earlier. My son, he's 16 now, and he hasn't had a full-time or a job yet. He loves to work. He's a good worker. But so you have to know your kids. And on buying the cars, I told my daughter that graduated from high school a year ago, from high school, that if she didn't screw up, literally, she kept herself pure, she made her grades, I'd buy her the best car I could for her. And I didn't promise her a new car, I just said, I'll buy you the best that I can afford. And I think she did work towards it. Her job was getting good grades, staying pure, staying with the Lord. And if she didn't do that, I wasn't going to buy her a car. That was the carrot I put out to just another help to motivate her to do right. Before that, she drove what we call in my family the old gray bomb, and then I made that my son's car until he proved that he wasn't going to mess up, and then I've given him a little better car now. That answer your question?
I was just on that same subject. One thing that my dad had done with me at that age that I thought was really helpful for me was that he didn't really give me my first car. Through those high school years, he had told me whatever I would make, he would match.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's a big difference between the pride I took in that car when I had something in it as opposed to him paying it.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was good for me to work towards that and not just be making money through high school, just blowing it on whatever.
Right.
I knew that there was a goal there, and then I took a lot of pride in that.
We need to know our children. We need to know their bent, and spend enough time around them where you know what. I can see on all three of my kids, I've spent enough time around them where I know what their problems are going to be before they ever have them. I think, I do my best to help them not get into those problems. And with my oldest daughter, it was making sure she worked at a young age. Yes.
I was about to read, first of all, you were talking about buying your child's first car, and I look back when I graduated from college, I hadn't had a car at all up until that time, and my parents bought my first car, and I was getting ready to start my first job teaching school, and it really helped me as far as not getting into debt, and I didn't start that vicious cycle of borrowing money for a car and going in hot for 5 years for a car, and I learned just from watching my parents' budget, and now I buy used cars, and I'm able to pay cash for that and stay out of that vicious cycle. So I appreciate you saying that, because
Along that same lines, my eldest daughter, when she started working, she's got her own budget. We helped her get it set up. We make sure that she maintains that budget if she wants to or not. Not that she doesn't blow it, but she knows how to budget. At a young age, we've taught them. So hopefully they'll avoid some of the problems that I've had.
Mark, my dad set up with us three kids to borrow money for college education. And when I went through professional school, my education was much more than the other kids. So that was his way of balancing what kid takes what education. It cancels the idea, well, Dad, you spend more on him than you did me. That type of thing. So when I got out, of course, I had my college debt I had to pay back, but it kept a sense of balance. And what I've done with my three college kids is to pass it on to them. I will provide for their education, but it's a payback.
Yeah.
And that keeps them a sense of balance, so they don't buy the T-shirt every weekend at the party. They have a feel of how much money they're spending, because it will be a payment system. Now, you may disagree with that, but that's putting them in debt.
Right, and
the balance of that situation.
And understand that I come from, I learned through the very, very College of Hard Knocks that debt is a killer. So I'm a little radical on debt, because it almost killed me. It almost killed my marriage. So I'm a little radical on debt. No doubt about it. But I think so. And if that's the way God leads you to get your kids through college, I think it's real important that we do help our kids get through college. But I'd rather see my daughter take 5 or 6 years to get through. Nothing says she has to be through in 4 years. I'd rather see her out in 5 or 6 years debt-free than 4 years and a big debt that she's going to be saddled with. And like I say, that's me. But again, there's no scriptural prohibition to debt. It's just called very unwise.
I'm from a situation. I've got one child in college, another one with a baby in about a year from school. And I've been in kind of a bigger, better. Now I'm ready to downsize. I'm ready to kind of...
How old are you? You can't, as far as home, if you downsize, you're going to have to pay some capital gains. So you strongly need to consider waiting till you're 55, and then you can trade down without a capital gains penalty. You need to double check that age, but I think that's right.
Yeah, 55, and you can ride on. Actually, moved into a luxury townhome or something. You won't take that profit and not pay any taxes on it all, up to $125,000.
So downsizing is good, and I think that's scriptural, but it's just the timing you need to look at so that you don't pay Uncle Sam anymore. Not that he doesn't need the money, but I don't want to give him any more than I have to. And yes, you should pay your taxes.
To plan for that time, to buy a home, use it as a property for the interim.
Right. Might be good. We pretty well covered. I had about 30 prepared questions, and we covered every one that I'd prepared. And I've got scriptures on almost every question we covered. But y'all, a lot of y'all know the scriptures better than I do. Well, let's close in prayer. And again, I'm available. If y'all have any questions, I'd love to spend more time with you individually. I encourage you to spend time around John Crawford, especially. I'm going to spend more time around Gene Ward, so y'all can't have him. God, we do thank you for this time. We just pray that you would help us to be financially free so that we can be better servants to you. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the scripture that we can know and avoid pitfalls. And Lord, we thank you that you're a God that loves to bless us. We just pray that you'd help us to be usable tools in your hand in the years to come. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.